looking at the third paragraph of the church covenant, to walk circumspectly in the world, to be just in our dealings, faithful in our engagements, exemplary in our deportment or in our conduct, to be an example. Goes on to say, to avoid all tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger. So there are three things here that we pledge to avoid: tattling, backbiting, and excessive anger. Now, to avoid means to keep away from, means to stay away from, to steer clear of. So we are to stay away from, we're to steer clear of tattling, backbiting, and anger. Now, to avoid these things, I believe, is simply just a branch of exemplary deportment. It's part of exemplary deportment. So we want to look at these things. We'll just look at two tonight, and that is tattling and backbiting. One who tattles is what the Bible calls a talebearer. The book of Proverbs has much to say about the talebearer. A talebearer is one who communicates secrets, and the key is maliciously. The one who communicates secrets maliciously. And if you go to the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 5, in verse 13, 1 Timothy 5, verse 13, "And wherewithal they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not." From that verse, we see that the tattler or the talebearer is closely related to the busybody. Now, a busybody is one who basically deals in matters that does not concern them. They get in other people's business that does not concern them. In 1 Peter chapter 4, and again, the perception by many is that busybodies are always women, but that, of course, is far from the truth. Both men and women are guilty of being busybodies. But in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters." So it's to concern ourselves, to interfere with that which does not really concern us. Solomon says it's an act of foolishness, that is, to be a busybody. Notice in Proverbs chapter 20, Proverbs chapter 20, and we'll read verse 3. Proverbs 20, verse 3. "It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling." So the talebearer or the tattler is closely related to the busybody. The busybody is, again, one who deals in matters which does not concern them. To do so, again, according to Proverbs 20 and verse 3, is an act of foolishness. Now, if we go back to 1 Timothy 5, verse 13, we see something else about the tattler or the talebearer. "And not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies." Tattlers and busybodies. But you notice the characteristic of them is that they're idle. That is, they don't have anything to do. They have a lot of time on their hands. So the tattler, the busybody, are, for the most part, idle people. Then notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we'll read verse 11. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, that makes them idle, but are busybodies. Working not at all, but are busybodies. 1 Timothy 5, verse 13, idle, they're tattlers and busybodies. So the two go together. So the tattler, the busybody, is an idle person. But you notice here in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 11, they're not only idle, but it says they walk disorderly. That is, they're, to be disorderly is to be unruly. It is to be disruptive, to be troublesome. So this idle person that is a tattler and a busybody has a disorderly life. That is, they're unruly, they are disruptive, and they are troublesome. Now, we see here in the covenant that we pledge not to do this. We pledge not to be a tattler or a busybody. That would cause us to be disruptive. Now, there is a difference, and many don't seem to understand this, and it's something you teach your children at an early age, because children have a tendency to do what? To tattle. I mean, we've all dealt with that. And you try to explain to your children the difference between tattling and informing. And there is a difference. There is a difference. Informing is the giving of information, the giving of needful information, something we need to know. Tattling is far different. Tattling, first of all, may not be needful information, but tattling is always malicious. It's always malicious. It's to get someone in trouble. Sharing information when somebody has committed wrong for that person's welfare or for the welfare of others, something that needs to be known, that is not tattling. That is giving needful information, and it is not done in a malicious way. It's not done with hatred. It's not done with a spirit of vengeance. It is done for the good of the person or the good of someone else, for the well-being of the person or the well-being of someone else. But tattling is with malice. That is spite. Tattling is giving information that may not be needful out of a spirit of spite, out of a spirit of ill will, vindictiveness, and evil intentions, for the purpose of causing pain and injury, or for the purpose of distressing someone else. That's tattling. That's malice. Now, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 8 that malice is like leaven. So malice is something that we want to avoid. Again, malice is ill will, vindictiveness. And it's like leaven. In other words, it grows. It's something that is very, once you have it, it is very, very difficult to contain it. It's like leaven. So if we're not going to be a talebearer, if we're not going to be a tattler, then one thing we need to do is to always deal with malice. That is, if we begin to feel spite or ill will or vindictiveness, or we begin to have evil intentions, we desire to cause someone injury, we need to get right with the Lord. We need to get rid of malice, because malice will lead to tattling, amongst other things. But not only that, malice will destroy you. Now notice in the book of Colossians chapter 3, the book of Colossians chapter 3, and verse 8. Colossians 3, verse 8. But now put off all these, and they're very closely related. Anger, wrath, which is the display of anger, and we'll get to that more next week. Malice, that's that ill will. Blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Just get rid of it. Get rid of malice. Because malice leads to things that just aren't good. One being tale-bearing. In 1 Peter chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, laying aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisies, envies, and notice, and all evil speakings, which falls under the category of tattling and backbiting. So we pledge to avoid, to steer clear of malice or of tattling. Now, one of the things that is connected with tattling is malice. So if we're going to steer clear of tattling, we have to steer clear of malice, because malice is the root of tattling, and malice is the root of many things. So as you go through the Bible, you see that tale-bearing, tattling, was forbidden by the law of God. Notice in the book of Leviticus, chapter 19. Book of Leviticus, chapter 19. Again, people, though, are confused between sharing needful information without a spirit of malice and tattling. Someone is doing something that is harming them or is going to harm someone else or going to harm the church. You need to give that information. In fact, you're wrong if you don't. And you're not to do so with malice. You're to do so for the good of that individual, for the good of the church. That is not tattling. Now, if you just give information to hurt someone, that's tattling. If you just give information for the sake of giving information, it's not needful information, that's tattling. So notice here in Leviticus chapter 19, begin reading with verse 16. Thou shalt not go up and down, that is, that shows intention. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. Neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am the Lord. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. And that's connected with tattling or being a talebearer. Again, it's you share information with a spirit of hate to get back at someone. That's tattling. And this is what is condemned. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer or permit sin upon him. Thou shalt not avenge. So, tattling, hatred, vengeance. These are things, hatred and vengeance are connected with tattling. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge. Bearing a grudge is connected with tattling against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. That's the cure That's the cure for malice. That's the cure for tattling, is loving thy neighbor as thyself. So the talebearer communicates secrets, communicates what he knows, and he does so with hate for the individual. He does so with vengeance and malice for the individual. Notice in the book of Proverbs, chapter 11, book of Proverbs, chapter 11, and verse 13. Proverbs 11, verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets. And again, he does so with hatred and malice. But he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. There are things that are to be concealed. There are things that need to be known. And we need to have enough wisdom to know the difference. But if we begin to have malice in our hearts, then, of course, we just tell what we know for the purpose of vengeance. So a talebearer causes much harm. A talebearer can cause a lot of hurt. Notice in Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 8. Proverbs 18 and verse 8. The words of a talebearer are his wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. They are his wounds. And that is the purpose of the talebearer, to wound, to cause injury, because the talebearer is filled with malice or hatred or vengeance. So a talebearer can cause much harm, can cause many wounds. That is so very true in the Lord's churches as well. And a talebearer, his intentions are evil, and he or she will use flattery to gain information. There are people that you need to know. You just do not give them information. You do not give them information. They will flatter. They will engage you in a conversation for the purpose of gathering information so that they can do their destructive work of tattling. That is an evil, wicked individual. And that individual causes much harm. And they're of course, are everywhere. Notice in Proverbs chapter 20, Proverbs 20 and verse 19. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets, therefore meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. Speaking of the talebearer, for the purpose of he flatters for the purpose of gaining secret information so that he can tell someone else. So a talebearer spreads strife. A talebearer spreads discord. In fact, people that are given to tattling enjoy. They get some enjoyment out of creating strife, out of creating discord. And notice in Proverbs chapter 26, Proverbs chapter 26, verses 20 through verse 22. Proverbs 26, begin reading with verse 20. Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. A lot of strife would die a natural death if it were not for folks feeding it. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man. Now I want you to notice this contention man in the context is connected with who? The talebearer. The talebearer and the contentious man. One and the same. So all through you see the root of talebearing, and this is what makes tattling tattling, is malice, is contention. So is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer is wounds and go down into the innermost parts of the belly. So a talebearer has the tendency to spread strife, to spread discord. And they're related to the contentious man. So for all of these reasons, we are to avoid, and we make a pledge to avoid tattling. Now again, that's not to say if you know something, you have proof. And again, you have the facts, not just your perception of the facts. And there's a big difference. And we all have perception of the facts. And somewhere along the line, we have to learn, yes, I do have my perception of facts, you have your perception of facts, but there may be a difference between the facts and my perception of the facts. There may be a difference between the facts and your perception of the facts. Do not make perception the fact. Keep the facts the facts. And the talebearer really doesn't concern himself with facts. That's not his concern. The talebearer could care less if he's spreading that which is true or that which is false. Doesn't matter to him. He's just bent on sharing information for destructive purposes. So for all of these reasons, talebearing is to be avoided. The next thing that we're to avoid is backbiting. It shows the depravity of our nature. Because I believe every single one of us, it is our nature to backbite. It's our nature. It's the nature of man to backbite. That shows how depraved we are. Now, backbiting, again, has the root in malice, hate, vengeance. But backbiting is malicious talk about one who is not present. You realize that some people, the only thing that their whole relationship with another person is based upon backbiting against someone else. That's their whole relationship. That's the only reason they get together, is to talk about other people. It means to secretly defame one's name or reputation. And it causes great harm. It causes great destruction. Because another part of our nature is we like to hear. We like to listen to backbiting. It's our nature. And of course, it's sin. And when people like to hear backbiting, when they like to hear malicious talk about someone else, they are also going to repeat it. So it just continues and continues. Again, it may or may not have basis in fact. A backbiter knowingly and maliciously makes accusations to put down another person. Now, the reason that people find it necessary to put down other people is for some reason it makes them feel more self-worth. That's the whole thing behind it. It makes themselves look better. And they knowingly and maliciously hurt the reputation of someone else in the eyes of the listener. And then that one who has listened to it goes and they say, "You know what I heard about so-and-so?" And they repeat it. And then the person they repeat it to repeats it to someone else. Again, it may have its basis in fact. It may not have any fact whatsoever. But it is, again, malicious. Now, the seriousness and despicableness of backbiting is seen from the sins that it is mentioned with in the Word of God. Notice in Romans chapter 1, verses 29 through verse 32. Now again, not all talking about someone is backbiting. Someone comes to you, we'll use an employer as an example, says, "Do you recommend so-and-so to do such and such a job?" And you give them an answer. And your answer does not recommend them. That's not necessarily backbiting. Again, are you doing it with malice? Are you doing it to hurt that person? Or are you giving needful information to someone else? But whatever it is that we say about someone else, we should also be willing to tell them at the same time. We should be willing to tell them as well. So, notice here in Romans chapter 1, verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity. These are serious things. Whispers, backbiters, listed right in there with all the rest. Haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. So you see, backbiting is put in the midst of all these things that are considered just awful. And they are. But so is backbiting. Backbiting is a sin, just like all these other things that are mentioned here. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 20. "For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would," or such as I would like, "and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envies, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, pride," meant by swellings here, "tumults." So backbiting is listed with all of these other sins. But backbiting, just like tattling, is a product of malice. And that's why, again, if we're going to avoid these things, you have to avoid malice. Where there is malice, there is going to be backbiting. All you have to do is look, it'll be there. I guarantee it. Where there is malice, where there is ill will, there will be backbiting. Where there is hatred, there will also be a desire to cause harm. And again, that can come in the form of backbiting. Notice what the psalmist said in Psalm 41. Psalm 41 and verse 7. He says, "All that hate me whisper together against me." All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me do they devise, that is, they plan. There's intention here. They devise my hurt. That is, they intend to cause me harm. A friend will not backbite. That's not a friend. That's not a friend. And you, if you are around somebody that is constantly backbiting, don't you think for a minute that they don't talk about you when you're not around. If they talk about everybody else, you can rest assured you're not so far up on the scale that they're not going to overlook you. They're going to backbite against you as well. That's what backbiters do. They backbite against anybody and everybody. And again, it doesn't have to have any basis in fact whatsoever. So, backbiting has its root in malice, hatred, vengeance, holding a grudge. So again, it's important that we deal with all of those things. Backbiting is contrary to humility. Notice in the book of James chapter 4, book of James chapter 4, we'll read verse 10 and verse 11. It says, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." And then notice in the context of "humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord," speak not evil one of another, brethren. Humble yourself, speak not evil one of another. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. So we see backbiting is contrary to humility. What that means is that humility will cure backbiting. Humility will cure it. Pride, along with malice and hate and holding a grudge, will feed backbiting. Backbiting is also contrary to love. Paul speaks very strongly in the book of Galatians chapter 5. Book of Galatians chapter 5. Notice verse 14 and verse 15. "For the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another," so that's backbiting, "and it is contrary to, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." One of the characteristics of love in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 is love thinketh no evil. What that means is that love is not quick to think the worst of others. Now, when we're being controlled by love, it's not our first reaction to think the worst. Love doesn't do that. But if you are being controlled by malice, hate, a grudge, anger, any of those kind of things, you are very, very quick to think the worst. Very quick to think the worst of any action. Two people can do the exact same thing, but if the one person is someone that you have malice toward, you immediately think evil of their action. And again, this is all related to backbiting. You bite and devour one another. It's contrary to a spirit of love. The spirit of love is not prone to overlook the good qualities and simply dwell upon the bad. When you love somebody, you have a tendency to overlook the bad and dwell more in the good. But when you have malice in your heart towards somebody, it's just the opposite. Everything is switched. Now you see no good. Doesn't matter what they do. You see no good in that individual, only bad. And you come to the, you begin to think, I know why they did that. No, you don't. Unless they told you, you do not know for sure why they did it. I know what they're thinking. No, you don't. No, you don't. That's what malice does. And again, this malice, this backbiting is contrary to love. When the spirit of love is not quick to judge evil in the actions of others, but the spirit of malice, that's exactly what it does. Love does not put the worst construction upon another person's actions, but malice does. So this backbiting is contrary to a spirit of love. And I'll be honest with you. I have been pastoring long enough to see more malice many times between the Lord's people than there are between lost people. And that's sad. People cannot possibly be right with God when they harbor malice in their hearts. Now, you notice here in Galatians chapter 5 that backbiting is destructive, but if you bite and devour one another, that's spiritual cannibalism. Devouring one another. In other words, it is destructive to the body of Christ. It is of a destructive nature because it spreads. It spreads. It's hard to contain it. It spreads. And this is what Solomon talks about. Notice in Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Verse 20. And what this verse is telling us is be careful who you tell what. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 20. Curse not the king, no, not in thy thought. Curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. Then notice what it says. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. The old saying, a little bird told me so. That's the truth. Who was that little bird? It's not a little bird, it's a raven. It's destructive. But again, we see that backbiting, just like bad news, travels fast. You can say something good about somebody. Chances are that person will never hear about it unless you tell them personally. You say something bad about somebody, they're going to hear about it. They're going to hear about it. Because backbiting travels. It's a hindrance to spiritual advancement. If we have malice in our hearts and we backbite, we cannot possibly advance spiritually. We cannot possibly be close to the Lord. Notice in Psalm 15, Psalm 15, and we'll read the first three verses. Psalm 15, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? That's being close to the Lord. Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? And then he answers the questions. He that walketh uprightly and worketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. And may I stop there? Someone said, I'm not backbiting, I'm telling the truth. But if the truth is told with maliciousness towards someone, that's backbiting. That's backbiting, whether it's the truth or not. Again, it all goes back to, is it done in a spirit of malice? And then notice He that back is still answering the questions of who shall abide in thy tabernacle, who shall dwell in thy holy hill. He that backbiteth not with his tongue. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. So for all of these reasons, backbiting is to be avoided. We are to avoid tattling. We are to avoid backbiting. Both tattling and backbiting are sins of the tongue. And Jesus tells us that an individual's speech is a direct manifestation of the condition of their heart. So when we really get down to it, backbiting is not a sin of the tongue. It is a sin, like all sin. It is a sin of the heart that expresses itself with the tongue. So both tattling and backbiting are to be avoided. How do we do that? How do we avoid tattling? Well, we've got to avoid malice, because that's what feeds these two things, tattling and backbiting. But I believe everything takes care of itself if we follow Philippians 2, verse 3. Now, let's turn there, and we're going to close here in a minute. But in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Do nothing through strife. Do nothing for the glory of self. Nothing. You do not do a favor to someone for self-praise. Because if they do not thank you like you feel you should be thanked, guess who's going to get malice in their hearts? Guess who's going to get their feelings hurt? He says, do nothing through strife or vainglory. And here it is, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. If we esteem others better than ourselves, that'll solve the problem of backbiting. They're better than I am. So why would I talk bad of them? But there aren't many folks today that consistently believe that others are better than themselves. Most believe that they have their rights and they have more rights than other folks, and that they are better than others. And that is a spirit of pride. And again, backbiting, tattling, is contrary to a spirit of humility, so pride feeds this backbiting. Another thing that will prevent backbiting is forbearance of others. Ephesians 4 verse 2 tells us that we are to forbear one another. Colossians 3 and verse 13 tells us the same thing. Forbearance is simply putting up with. It means, yes, we see that brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, they have their faults. We can see that. Believe it or not, we can see it in everybody. Everybody can see it in us. But we, for the sake of love, we forbear. That is, we have patience. We put up with some things. Because deep down we know, or we should know, that they put up with some things with us as well. So it's not just you putting up with someone else. Believe me, there's something in your life that they've got to put up with. That's true of all of us. Forbearance. And what should promote forbearance is the grace of God. God has been forbearing with us. God is patient with us. God is long-suffering with us. And then, of course, the other thing that will prevent tattling and backbiting is the restoration of others. And we'll close. Notice in Galatians 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a thought, in a fault. Now the key word there is overtaken. It doesn't say, if a man have a fault, you make sure you tell him about it. That's not what it's saying. It says this individual is overtaken. That is, he is under the control. He is under the dominion of this fault, of this wrong. And that's what a fault is. It's a wrong. If a man be overtaken in a fault, and believe me, malice will overtake you. That's why we've got to put it off. It'll control your life. It'll control your thoughts. It'll control your perception. It'll destroy you. So if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, then notice the key word, restore. That's the goal. That should always be the goal. To restore. The goal should never, and I don't care what it is, I don't care if it's church discipline, whatever, if it's private matters, whatever, the goal should always be restoration. The goal should never, ever be vengeance. Never. Because if it is, we're wrong. Doesn't matter. I don't care how much someone has mistreated you, you are not right with God if you have vengeance toward them. If you have malice toward them, they may have done you wrong. But by the fact that you hold malice in your heart, you hold vengeance in your heart, you are wrong. The goal here, and again, malice can't do this, is yes, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, they have this failure in their life, this error in their life. They're overtaken in it. It's controlling them. I'm going to get myself in such a position spiritually that I am going to try to restore that individual. That's what it says. To restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Now, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is the opposite of ill will. That is, meekness toward man is the opposite of ill will toward man. In other words, it is the opposite of malice. You will never restore someone in a spirit of malice. Never. Well, I'm going to go and give so-and-so a piece of my mind. I'm going to tell them off. Well, you can do that. You may feel better, but you're not going to restore that person. That's not what's going to do it. You go in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. So, three things that we are to avoid, and that is tattling, backbiting, and the one we'll look at next week is excessive anger. These things will destroy relationships. These things will destroy families. These things will destroy churches. They will utterly destroy them. So this is something, again, this is something that we all pledge. Now, we've all been upset with individuals. We've all been in a spot where we think that a church member's times you may have to just ask God to give you the grace to do it, but that's your responsibility. That's your responsibility. So God help us to avoid these things that are so, so very destructive. Brother Larry, if you